And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of our continent's eminent voiceover artists, Chilulemba, the voiceover plug.
Welcome to another episode of the voiceover plug. Hope you're doing great. I'm enjoying these conversations between myself and other voiceover artists, and today I'm privileged to have Nick Archibald with me in studio. Nick Archibald is about 25 years old, but this man is busy. I've been teasing him about how he holds down many jobs, but he's got one of those creative minds which is always on the go. Very gifted. If you follow him on Instagram, you'll know what I mean. He does a lot of character voices, and so I wanted to dive in and find out about his journey and also whether there are paying opportunities for the character roles that he's so good at. So, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. This is my conversation with the one and only Nick Archibald.
The voiceover plug with Chilulemba.
Let me start with a story, man. A few weeks ago, when there was that situation where Barack Obama got that audiobook award.
Yes.
Was it audiobook? No, it was the narration for the National Geographic thing, isn't it?
I think it was two. I think it was the National Geographic, but I think it was mainly his audiobook of his own autobiography.
So he put out another one, because I've listened to the two, the Dreams of My Father or something. Then the other one was Audacity of Hope.
Yeah.
And I listened to both. Great narration. You were on air and you were discussing one of the two. So it could have been the audiobook or it could have been the National Geographic thing. There was an Emmy win.
Yes. I can't remember what he won it for, but I was just so taken aback that he beat David Attenborough.
Uh-huh.
He was like halfway to an EGOT, which I still don't know what it stands for. I'll be honest with you.
Isn't Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and a Tony?
I think it is a Tony. I originally thought it was a telegram. I think that was wrong.
Tony, yeah. Anyway, so I'm driving and you were on 5FM and you were having this conversation, and then you said you're going to, get the thoughts of David Attenborough.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was him.
Really?
So I'm driving and I'm thinking like, what? So my mind's confused and all this. And only later on, after we had that pod day, which ultimately...
Yeah, the podcast day. Yes,
podcast day.
Yeah.
And we met and we chatted, and then I followed you on Instagram. Then I saw your videos. I'm like, okay.
Ah, there we go.
Sir David was not in the building.
He was. He takes over my soul, David Attenborough. You know what I'm saying?
But how did that... Okay, so obviously this is a voiceover plug. We're going to be talking about voiceover later on, but let's start there. What was your fascination with him specifically? Mm. And weirdly, I've been doing voiceover, for like 20, 25 years? And every once in a while, people say, okay, we want to read like.
Yeah.
And I'm not that guy, you know what I mean? So I do what I do, but I'm not a guy who can have his soul taken over by other individuals like you do. So anyway, where did the fascination start? And, you know, to tell us about you and how you plug into characters, for starters.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think I've always just been fascinated with the voice.
Yeah.
I think about it often because, you know, radio found me. I didn't find radio. It's just things happened in my life that got me into radio and got me behind a microphone. But I was doing those voices from when I was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. It started with accents. And thankfully, you know, I grew up in a South Africa where I was exposed to different people and therefore exposed to different accents. I went to Brian Evan Primary School quite proudly in Johannesburg. And it was just... It was such a cool experience from that point of view, where I got to hear different dialects, different ways of people grappling with the English language while I was grappling with the English language. I was obviously surrounded by your family and friends who all had a really, really great hold on it. And thankfully that's helped me in my career now. But just listening to different people of color, Indian people who grew up in Durban and moved up, and Indian people who had grown up.
Because the different nuances, you know, Indian people who grew up in Zambia sound totally different from Indian people who grew up.
So it was even more interesting for me then moving, you know, to when I went to university in Stellenbosch and hearing a color Afrikaans accent speaking English and a white Capetonian accent speaking English, and there's subtle differences. So it's always been, quite honestly, an obsession of mine. And I mean, is it because I don't have friends? Probably. but I've always spoken to myself, so there's always been this. So it started with accents, I think.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I got into impressions like a little bit later after sort of the accents.
And now
and stuff like
in the world of social media, you're able to talk to yourself with a camera and have an audience appreciate it.
Yeah, well, sometimes, yeah.
But does it take long? So I'll tell you like a quick story about, have you met Rob Vega?
No, I haven't met him, but
you've heard of him.
Yeah,
Rob Vega, for anyone listening right now, he's a veteran South African voiceover artist, also known for his impersonations and stuff, particularly the Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
Mm.
So there was once when I had a chat with Rob, this was maybe over 10 years ago, we were doing some production which made it that we were in each other's worlds, you know, like every day for a couple of weeks. Mm. And I asked him about that Arnie thing. And he says he had auditioned for a role which required an Arnold Schwarzenegger accent, and he didn't land the role. And that pissed him off to the degree that he spent the weekend, he rented out a bunch of Arnie movies, and he was just watching them, but you're trying to find, you know, the little, small little things that make Arnie who Arnie is in terms of how he speaks. And fast forward to, I think it was 2019 when Arnie was in the country. 702 in inverted commas hosted Arnie by phone, but it was Rob. You know, they didn't That's realize it was Rob. So does it happen like that in your world where you obsess over a character or a personality that you enjoy listening to and want to imitate, that you spend a lot of time just digesting how they do things?
I think all different ones have come in different ways. I think David Attenborough, I was on a campus breakfast show in 2019 at MFM in Stellenbosch.
Yeah.
And we try to figure out a way of how to make the show a little bit more exciting in like the 7:30 to 7:50 part. So I started working on characters, and I'd had characters throughout my life, but I never really had a David. And it was at that time where, you know, like, our planet was like so popular. So I watched like the whole of our planet in like a day. I was like, you see, now the sloth will come down. And David just, you know, overtook my life. But that was that situation. I'll take you to when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
And my brother and I were in the back TV lounge, and we loved watching like comedy shows. Mm-hmm. And the first one was, Daywalker by Trevor Noah, which was we were watching that, and then for some odd reason our cousin had given us a video. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but Pablo Francisco.
I've heard of him.
So I watched his Movie Man impression.
I don't know
if you've ever So he does this brilliant one, and this is also where I got my own Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is not very good, but I got it from this point, and I realized that I do impressions of people doing impressions. Anyway, I was 12 years old, you know, I'd probably, my voice had maybe dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, like, I watched it once, I was like, in a world, one man must fight to survive. And I was just like, and my brother, I remember my brother looking at, because we were both trying to work it out, and he was trying, and then he looked at me, he was like, was that you? I was like, yeah, like this summer.
Did you record it, or was he just listening to you?
No,
like, no recording.
We were 12 years old, just sitting in the lounge.
Person to person.
Yeah, we had no amplifier,
nothing.
Yeah, nothing. So we were watching Pablo Francisco. I mean, it's been different for many different impressions.
Wow.
So it's, and like, they've always been there, which is like a weird thing for me.
But so here's my question. Do you get opportunities, which are paid opportunities, where you're called upon to use your gift in that sense, or
only recently? I mean, it's something I've wanted. My biggest dream is to voice a Disney character.
Yeah.
I haven't put the things into place that will let that dream come true yet.
Yeah.
I will. Obviously, I'm doing a lot right now. But that is the dream. But it's weird that you asked that. Weirdly, it's happened in two sort of moments.
Hmm.
I got a call from a creative agency literally 3 weeks ago. And they said, we're looking for a David Attenborough type. They were pitching. But they were obviously going to pay me for the pitch.
Yeah.
So a guy randomly arrived at my house at 3 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. I spent an hour and a half with him, and we crafted. And obviously our script, I also content write for a creative agency. So we were scripting this together, and then I was doing practices. So that was the first time ever that someone had phoned, you do a pretty good David Attenborough. We'd love to use it. And I'm like, what? Like talking to myself in the mirror for the last 25 years is finally paying off. And then another situation, which which blew my mind and surprised me actually, and sort of motivated me recently to get into more voiceover work and character play and that sort of stuff. There's a startup in Stellenbosch that wanted some voiceover work, but they're wanting to go international in the next few years, but they want one standard voice that they're going to take overseas.
Okay.
And they wanted a neutral as possible. Mm-hmm. So I had to bring in my own accent that I use in my day-to-day lives. I had to bring in American accent, which was
a
bit subtle enough that it wasn't
overdone and overbearing
as an American accent could be. And then I had to bring in, so I had David Attenborough in the back of my head, but it was like a young David Attenborough. And I got to work on this like intonation of this neutral accent.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, that's mind blowing, because I never thought I could do that. Like, I've always been like, oh, David, where is Arnold? Like, get down. You know? Like, Eddie Murphy, like, oh, yes, why did it take so long? She dumped in heaven, me and Oscar. Oh, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could do all of that. Then in this moment, this was like 2 weeks ago, and they were like, yo, we want a neutral accent.
Yeah.
And I just stood like, because I've used my voice in those different impressions, like Al Pacino's, like, inch by inch. Play by play till we're finished.
Yeah.
You know, and then like Sylvester Stallone's like, he's always a foot in the mouth. You know, he's like sort of whining all the time. And just using those different parts of your voice and your mouth, like that was really cool for me.
This is fascinating for me. I've got two stories for you. So one is regarding 6 Degrees of Separation, obviously, with Disney. Mm. Just yesterday, they released the trailer. I mean, I'm dating this podcast, obviously, by saying yesterday.
Yeah.
But yesterday, they released the trailer for Black Panther 2 or Wakanda Forever, as they're calling it. Beautiful trailer. But what got me is that the song is by people I know.
Yeah.
Like, as in straight after I watched the trailer, I'm phoning these guys like, congratulations. Wow. It's so an artist called Sampa the Great from Zambia. I don't know her personally, but it was produced by a guy called Magnus, Mag44. So I called him, you know, because he's slow on his WhatsApp. He doesn't reply quickly. And the rapper in there is a guy called Chef187 from Zambia. So I'm like blown away. Like, this is, you know, Marvel and, you know, so 6 Degrees of Separation. So your dream, you know, isn't as far as you might think, because these people are closer. Yeah. So that's the first story. And weirdly, I tweeted about it. My tweet was something like, this feels like we won the World Cup. And underneath it, one of the responses is from a lady saying, thank you. Something like, this worked very well for our trailer. I'm thinking, our trailer? Who's this? And I click on it, and it's the movie, it's a producer of trailers from Disney.
Oh,
I'm like, flip. So the world is going small like this.
There's connections.
I said two stories. I've got three now. Because there's a guy.
Gino, it's fine. You can be my agent. You can be my agent. It's fine.
It's not even.
No, I want you to be my agent. I don't know, people.
I'd be useless. I'm terrible at admin.
We'll go to America together. Just lay some thick vocal
over. But my third story is about America. But the second story is this guy called Gabe Kunda. And he does a lot of the stuff that you see on TV. You'll be out now, brother. You know, the fast stuff. He does that stuff. You should follow him on Instagram. But he once had he put on Twitter that he wanted to, on his bucket list, voice one of Ava. What's her name? Ava the producer. Ava DuVernay or something. Anyway, she's one of the Hollywood producers who's done like a bunch of movies recently.
Yeah.
One with Oprah, etc. So he said that was on his bucket list. Her response is, my people have just been in touch with your agent.
Wow.
And next thing, he's voicing her stuff, you know. And I'm like, damn. Wow. So the world's getting smaller. So that's my first bunch of stories. But my second one, which might be more useful to you, because it wasn't useful for me, because I can't do what you do, is I went to a thing called VoiceOver Atlanta in 2017. And one of the workshops that you could pay to attend was being hosted by a casting director from Disney.
Oh, wow.
And so that room is full of people who are skilled with characters and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, you go around and, you know, she gives everyone a turn to say stuff. And that thing gets subscribed like quickly, because there are a lot of people who want to get into that world.
Yeah.
But then you interface directly with somebody, you know, who's able to either connect you or give you advice, which is tangible and whatever. So I say it wasn't useful for me, because like I say, me being in that room, I'm in the wrong room, because I'm more suited for other things, you know. I'm not, you know, as gifted as you in terms of bringing characters to life. But something like that would be right up your alley.
Fine, so I'm going to America tomorrow.
No, you must.
No, but it is. And also, like, I wish I had known more. Like, I'm only recently really doing research of voiceovers and getting into it and stuff like that. Because it's... there is so much opportunity actually when you go looking for it, but you've got to be looking for it, you know, because there are so many talented people. Like, I mean, I've honestly never ever considered myself a good voiceover artist.
No,
but it's happening, which is cool. Like, I'm getting calls and people are noticing things. So then you start to believe it.
Yeah.
And when you start to believe it, then you can actually chase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, we are our own worst critics, because even in my situation, I still sometimes have that imposter syndrome where I kind of, you know, I'm in a room like, you know, well, unto me, it's like, you know, but then other people around you validate your gift. And so even in this setting right now, what I'm saying is, that's you, man. I mean, your gift, obviously we're talking about the character stuff, but even that stuff aside, if you're just talking straight voiceover, I think you have like a great presence, and a great execution that you know, you're going to be killing it. If you aren't already, you're probably being humble. You're probably making like lots of money.
not yet. One day when we big.
One day.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think also like it's the enjoyment side of it. Like I remember like my Eddie Murphy isn't very good. I don't think it's very good. I try. It comes in moments, but it's an impression of Jay Farrow.
Doing Eddie Murphy. Yeah,
so he's on a couch with Steve Harvey. I don't know if you've ever seen the clip.
No, you will love it.
It is the funniest thing.
Yeah.
And he starts with the eyes and he like does this whole like, darty. Really like, oh, it's just so funny. Then he does like a Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart I can't get right because it's too high pitched. Like my voice is too low for Kevin Hart. But it's like, it was so much fun. And the reason why I felt I needed an Eddie is because I was unemployed during COVID.
And
I made coffee every morning for myself because that was the only thing that's all I looked forward to. I looked forward to plunger coffee with cream. And I was like, someone needs to be commentating this. It can't be David. It can't be Hugh Bladen. Hugh Bladen's too excited. You can't be that excited. Yeah, it's got to be Eddie Murphy. Eddie. Oh, yes. Why did it take so long? I should have done been having me a coffee. It's already 11:30 in the morning. Nicholas, get your ways in here, boy. I'd have like arguments with myself about making coffee. It's just like having fun with it, which has been like for me really, really cool.
But you see, the other thing is like, for instance, when I look at your Instagram feed, you're having fun, but then when you step back, you're seeing all these titles pop up and stuff. So you realize that there's a lot of work that goes into every piece that you're putting out there.
Mm.
So it's not just like, you know, yeah, we're having fun, you know, turn the camera on. There's a, you know, thinking about the process before it goes on. And I'm sure you're kind of studying other people who are doing stuff, you know, that's impactful and has reach and, you know, goes viral and stuff. How much time do you spend, like, you know, because you're busy. I was saying, so when you came in here today, I was saying, like, how many jobs do you have? Because I know of three.
Yeah, no, I have like 4 million jobs. Getting out of bed is a job.
tell me about that, though. But then how much prep or how much energy do you pour into that side of you?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm lucky in the fact that, like, working at a place like 5FM, I'm allowed to, like, really express myself. Like,
yeah.
On my show, The 5 Takeover, which is a Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I do this thing called Request Like.
Yes, I've listened to that.
I've used my characters to set it up. I used to, originally when I had the idea, it was like a setup, like, hey, we're requesting like you're in an action film, like I want energy, and the listeners would come to the party regardless.
Mm.
And now to create a little bit more content and send things to listeners that they can go and check out on the app, and I have like these conversations between David Attenborough and Al Pacino, and they do the thing.
Yeah.
I recently worked on a Gilbert Gottfried, but I also can't get the high pitch of Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
But he like will lead a lot of the things, like, okay, today we're going to decide died. Yes. How on earth we're gonna request like David? What is your essay? Oh well, you know, Gilbert. Today I feel so. So I've used these characters.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What's nice is it has like a double whammy because I throw my phone in front of
okay.
me.
Okay.
And I get to create that as video,
but while
I'm doing it for my show and vice versa. Yeah. So that's been pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I watch voiceover artists. I watch a lot of cartoons. I watch a lot of Family Guy.
Yeah.
Because I think Seth MacFarlane is arguably the greatest voiceover artist of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah.
I watch a lot. So just keeping
he's like super
ticking.
Rich because, you know, he's other than being rich. Like it's crazy. Oh, I think he's...
He must send the money.
I saw the stats and because there was a curious list which said the wealthiest voiceover artists. And that top 10 list all had guys who've created shows and done the character, voiced in the show.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just purely about voicing in the show. It was about guys like Seth who will create a show and then be on the show.
No, exactly. So interesting. I definitely put in time and effort. I certainly could do more on my social media, I feel.
Yeah.
But that's purely, you know, lack of time. You know, it's a fast moving world, especially working in the media industry, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. It's like you get a call and you gotta get something done and then it all sort of falls apart. So it's nice on the 5FM side that I get to do those sort of things on my shows.
Yeah.
So then it works out that I'm working on my show, working on the social media side and having fun with it, which is the main aim of all of it.
And do those things also, I had somebody on the show, his name's Sine, the voice artist, Sinemi Vuyo. And I was asking him whether his, because he's big on TikTok, so he's got a big following. And I, you know, a lot of people would ask me if the TikTok stuff that I do, I don't have anywhere near as many followers as those guys.
Mm.
If it returns in terms of opportunities. And in my case, it isn't. I just use it for fun or for you know, branding or whatever.
Yeah.
But from the stuff that you do, has that ever landed into an opportunity?
As I mentioned a bit earlier, was the David Attenborough.
So that came directly from...
So it was social media and from 5FM. So one of the people who they were talking to, like it was a friend of the creative agency, they would talk about, oh, we have this pitch coming up and we're thinking David Attenborough, and someone said something.
Yeah.
And they had mentioned my social media posts and stuff that I've done on 5FM.
Yeah.
So that's really the only time it ever has.
Yeah.
But also, I suppose it's different. It's different for you. It's different for me. It's different for someone who's like on TikTok.
Yes.
And opportunities come in weird ways. I mean, when I had literally nothing, no jobs, anything in majority of 2020, a friend of mine's mom who runs like an international company, they were looking for in-house podcasting solutions.
Oh.
So I had ran their in-house podcasting solutions and used my own voice, obviously, in these
in the intros
these 2-minute pieces and
read out
and compiled like an MP3 player into their website, and like those sort of opportunities came like through friends. Other opportunities that come through friends, others through 5FM. So it's different for everyone. Yeah, it's a mixed match. You know, like working with an agency is also great opportunities.
So
like,
you work with an agency? You've got an
no,
agency?
No, not at all. So I'm trying to build my own agency of voiceover artists.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a nice opportunity there also for like huge, for like smaller companies looking for trying to pay like huge voiceover artist fees is hard.
Yeah,
so trying to
like
find like a solution on that side. But that's obviously that's
by
the by. But like personally, I've never worked with an agency. I've been considering approaching someone, but I'm terrified of rejection.
Really?
So I haven't approached anyone yet. I've lots of draft emails.
But a trick that I heard about, and it's kind of worked with me. I used to be, my story is I was with an agent for about almost 20 years, I think. And then, you know, we didn't see eye to eye on something. So I left, and then I've been independent for, I think 3 years or something. But then there was one particular assignment which needed me to be onboarded onto the client's payroll. And that was just taking forever. So I asked him, like, you know, in terms of agencies, who do you work with ordinarily? Because maybe I can just kind of, you know, use those guys. And they're like, okay, cool. We can do an intro to you. So that happened, and for that particular gig, I'm represented by that agency. So, and that's the practical part of something I'd heard about years ago, where a person said, "No, if you want to sign up with an agency, but you're kind of skeptical about approaching them directly, then when you get a client approaching you for some assignment which seems juicy, then call the agency and say, okay, listen, these guys want to book me, but you know, can I do it through you guys? Because obviously they're in for, you know, then they'll be like, yeah. So directly your first contact with them is you're bringing the opportunity to them, you know, as opposed to them hunting it for you. And then that's your in.
So you do the back end.
You do the back end. And I suppose when you start your agency, guys will be clever enough and doing the same with you. Like,
well, hopefully,
Business is business, eh?
I don't care. Bring the business. I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm just terrible at admin. So that's why, like, I'd be a useless agency owner, you know.
The opportunities in the media world, I think people perceive as few and far between.
Yeah.
But if you can get it right, you can get it right. And I opened the business as a full production company that was going to, you know, do podcasting, and we were going to do radio ads, and we're going to do social media, and we're going to do everything. And I've sort of realized, as much as that's attainable, if you had a team of 35 people with one person that's focused on one thing. And I think right now for me, it's like trying to build, like, and also for me, like, to validate what I've been doing in the mirror for 25 years. Like, I've trained my voice in very many different ways, and I can offer that.
Yeah.
And I know people who are like me, who've been doing that for many, many years, who are just too scared to do an agency, who don't want to be doing voiceover work every second day, because they also live different lives. So let's give them an opportunity where they sit on a voice bank of sorts, and I can try and find work for them. And if I do, it's cool. If I don't, listen, make sure this isn't your only job.
Don't rely
on me to pay for your food, please. Like, I've got coffee.
Have another hustle, you know, and you know, I'm there with running a parallel hustle that you can plug into now and again.
Which is cool. Like, and I think also, like, you know, creating opportunities for, like, I've been so fortunate and so lucky in my career. Like, I'm only 25. I talk like I've been here for 400 years. But I genuinely have. And I've got opportunities because of how I see this situation, because people saw that situation in me and they were like, hey, this kid is doing this and this, let's give him that opportunity, maybe he can try this, maybe he can do that. And like, that's always been fun. So like, I look at a lot of people who are a little bit younger than me, and it's, you're so naive, and it's hard, and the industry is hard, but it's not impossible. Like, don't tell yourself it's impossible.
Exactly.
Like, come and have a chat. Like, if you want to do some voiceover work, we'll put you on the voice bank. If you want to maybe get some opportunities to do a podcast, like, I've got a studio, come record a podcast. I know Chilu, you could record a podcast, you know. I feel like there's a lot of gatekeeping sometimes.
There is. So here's my, I remember when we came in, I said, I won't keep you for long, but here's where I kind of want us to wind it up with. You, even from when I see your videos and stuff, and knowing a bit of some of the work that you do for the various companies that you bless with your presence.
Sometimes.
you're very knowledgeable about gear and equipment and things like that. We had an episode on VoiceOver Plug, I think it was episode 2, where we discussed home studios. And so I'm just thinking somebody might be listening right now, and maybe we could speak some advice into what gear they can use to set themselves up. You know, if they're starting up their, you know, business as a voiceover artist operating from home. What kind of thoughts can you share with somebody in that position?
Yeah, I think just do as much research as possible and read reviews. Like, I think when I was, so I have like a, I've quite like a fancy setup that was sort of a quick buy, but something that I needed at the time, and I decided I'm going to commit and I'm going to front the cost in it.
Yeah, which is the best way to do it, because if you buy cheaper gear, then you end up paying for it by substandard, you know, production whatnot, and then eventually you still end up having to buy proper stuff.
So it is expensive. Get yourself a proper mic. Get yourself a decent mixer. I think the mic sometimes is more important than the mixer, because you know, people's laptops are so nice. You know, you get that USB plug-in and that's perfect. But the big thing for me is just understanding space. Like, go into YouTube and search how to set up a home studio with like absorbent material with lack of tiles, or if you have tiles like what Chido has in here, he has what, 6 soundboards?
Yeah, I should bring in more, just, you know, because I'm intimidated by you and your studio knowledge.
No.
I should wheel in my 1.5 meter long.
Just bring all of them, you know, and it is expensive. There's no lie about it. But you front those costs and you make those costs back over a certain period of time. Because if you are serious about it and you are serious about the work, and if someone has said you have the voice, you obviously have the voice.
Yeah.
But you can have the voice and with not so good equipment, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So front the cost. Obviously, save where you can, but do as much research as you can. Don't just go buy it the first thing and think I'm going to start, because it, like you say, you're going to be paying it off with subpar work.
Yeah.
Rather start hot, and then the voiceovers will come, and then the work will come, and you can pay off that. Because that thing will last forever. You know, like Rodecaster or Allen and Heath or any of these mixes. Like you get the ZI-10, you get the Z10, you get the ZI-10FX. They all do the same thing.
Yeah,
they're all the same thing. The Rodecaster and the Rodecaster 2. The 2 is just prettier. Let's be honest. it does the exact same thing. So when it does come to voice, like especially if you're your own person, sound absorption material, getting those sound bars, everything like that.
Mm.
A good half decent mixer. And a really good mic, and you're A for a way.
Yeah. That's all right. So my last question now, outside of all this stuff, man, how do you keep your mind, like what's your Zen space? Like what allows you to unplug? Because your mind's busy. Besides all these characters in your head.
all my friends
in your head. Do you know that story? You've seen that photo, the famous photo with Mel Blanc. The guy who used to voice the Looney Tunes characters, I think.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
And when he was in an accident in the 50s. And he's in bed, injured, with, like, you know, all these things around him in terms of, like, you know, things to stabilize his leg and all this kind of stuff. Because the car accident was nasty. But he's in there and they've got a microphone to his head.
Yeah.
Because the show must go on.
Then,
you know.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the beauty of the world. I think before I moved into like a Monday to Friday job at a creative agency, my theory was midweek golf. I was going to write a book on midweek golf, because that was a Zen space, and I'd play at least once a week a full 18 holes with people, sometimes by myself, because I love being outside.
Yeah.
I don't like the drinking side of golf because it gets just out of hand, to be honest. Yeah. I just enjoy being outside, being in nature. So of recent, not much, I'll be honest.
I don't really get to turn off much,
you know, working 7 days a week and on the grind and building things and stuff like that. But I do take time to myself. I try and read. I'm currently reading Johnny Clegg's autobiography, which is...
Man, I'm one of the biggest Johnny Clegg fans, man. I think I saw him twice or 3 times.
I never saw him live. That was the
best live show you'd see, because he'd perform and then after each song, it would be like a lecture.
I graduated with a BA in sociology and anthropology. Oh, wow. Reading his autobiography is like it's like reading a thesis, but it's from personal experience, because he talks about, you know, growing up as the white Zulu. His children have Zulu names. Like it's like a proper. It's amazing, and particularly doing it at the and he just contextualizes so beautiful. It is just one of the.
I was trying to get my kids just this past weekend onto to Johnny Clegg, you know. So I played some Jesse Clegg first, you know, to kind warm of you know, them up, warm them up. And then I went to Scatterlings of Africa, and my wife was like, "What you doing?" We are Scatterlings.
There we go. They must listen closely.
The first Johnny Clegg song I heard, I was still living in Zambia. I was like probably in the 5th grade, 1985, 86. And that stuff, man, just hit me. You know when something just resonates with you so strongly?
So different.
That it changes your outlook and whatnot. And that was I Call Your Name. And later on when I started doing my own music, man, I was like, some of the stuff, you can hear that influence in the music. So, man, that's amazing. No, I'm going to look out for the book.
Yeah,
although
I'm
into audio books, you know, so if it was an audio book... Maybe that's what that, you know.
Maybe we should read it. Yeah, sure. Or David Attenborough.
Yeah. Like, get him to do the Zulu names.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. That is another challenge in itself. Like,
because
I often get like calls like, "Oh, can you do a David for," and I for this recent one, we had like Scuffton. We had
For you guys listening, Scuffteen is like, that's the lunchbox.
Yes, it's a lunchbox, yeah. So, in my mind, I'm like, obviously, it's a lunchbox. But yeah, so we had like a few African words within the English. And that's like a real chance, particularly for the movie, man. Like in a world, like even my own name, Nick Archibald. Chilulema.
It's weird.
That's also like a fun thing to like play around with.
Yeah.
Like I can't do the Osa X, the click.
With
that voice. Like it's I'd had to do a voiceover for one of our presenters, Olizondo.
And
it was like, in a world, Olizondo. And it's so hard. It's like, because I have the click, because I live in South Africa.
But the movie man
does not live in South Africa.
it's weird.
It's a crazy
thing. And you know the thing is, like, I've experienced something similar because Zambezi, for example. Yeah. It's the Zambezi River. It's the Zambezi, it's Zambezi River, Victoria Falls, but Zambezi. So it's not Zambezi.
Yeah.
But because of decades and decades of guys who did narration and were Eurocentric in their approach.
Like David.
David. So they set it up as Zambezi, such that when I say Zambezi,
people
think it's weird, you know what I mean? But I'm like, I'm from there. Yeah. So I had a thing some time ago.
I literally lived there.
You know, I used to live like, you know, a few kilometers from the damn river. So Miss South Africa, years ago, you know, I was doing the, you know, when they announced the different prizes.
Yeah.
And a 5-night stay at the Royal Zambezi. Ooh. And the director's like, could you say Zambezi? I'm like, no, it's Zambezi. I could just do a safety read where you say Zambezi. No. Because my people back home would be like, why the heck's Chilo saying Zambezi?
You sold us down the Zambezi River. That's what they say.
Exactly. Man.
It is very interesting. Voiceovers are the one.
Nick Archibald on The Voiceover Plug. Hope you enjoyed it.
And that was The Voiceover Plug with Chilulemba. Catch Chilu on social media using the handle @Chilulemba. And if you haven't checked out his memoir, Finding My Voice, get it as an audiobook on Audible and ebook or paperback on Amazon.